You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Rory Spencer and Rick Schmidt. Rory's taking a day off, one more weekend off. hopefully she'll be better by next week. Anyway, we're talking to Jerry in Texas right now. Rick, go ahead with your thoughts. We were talking about straw bale construction and all.
And then we'll get on with taters. The engineering that was created by ancient people down there in the Southwest, what was going on with the adobe, and of course probably everybody already knows this, although I have done no real investigation into this, was that the thickness of the wall was important. I want to say they kept it around 16 inches, and so what happened was is that all day long, those walls would warm up. They would keep in the desert. It gets quite cold at night, so those warm walls would keep the occupants comfortable all night. But then all night long, they would cool off, and then the walls would tend to be cool in the morning, keeping the occupants cool during the day. So if you make the wall the right thickness, you can kind of time it out so that you're comfortable, more or less, comfortable by day and by night. So right. I don't know if we're going to talk about Cobb. We're going to talk about Cobb and hay bales. I mean, I guess now, you know, we've got things like wood stoves and other things that we can incorporate into the design, and we could offset some of this. But, you know, originally, I have the same problem here with the rooster won't knock it off. The thickness of the wall was a big deal. But in any case, Jerry, what am I doing wrong with potatoes? Where am I going wrong here?
Well, I don't know. I won't discuss that.
That was not the answer that I wanted. All right, go ahead.
Well, okay. The abundance of too much nitrogen is a new concept. We have tried growing potatoes in just about every kind of media, I guess, that there is. We've gotten went down on the Colorado River and got sandy loam and made beds out of that to grow, try to grow potatoes. We have taken in the ground and in barrels and put our huge tractor tires. Put nothing but straw, you know, loose hay in it. I've read, man, they grow like gangbusters. All you have to do is lay them in that straw, bed of straw, and cover them up a little bit and water them, and they'll come up, and you just keep adding to it. And you just, after a while, you just pick up that old tractor tire, and you got wheelbarrows full of potatoes.
Are you feeding them? Are you feeding them, or are you just leaving them alone?
Well, yeah, just water them, you know. What I've read and seen and what have you, know, they just pretty much gone on.
You're not fertilizing them, really. You're just letting them go.
No. According to what everybody says. And Paul Gauchy, you know, he's big in the wood chips up there in Washington State.
Oh, yeah.
And I seen him with a video where he dug up his potatoes and he picked out the biggest and nicest potato in the fall and dug down deep and put it in there and covered it back up. He said, that's all you do. It'll, it'll sprout and it'll grow up and make potatoes for the next year. And I've got abundance of wood chips. I've planted them in straight wood chips and beds and whatever. Right. I'm lucky to get marble-sized potatoes. Now, I do know from experience that you plant potatoes on the wane of the moon, after full moon, you know, like, what is it, 5 days after full moon. Okay. All your root plants you're supposed to plant after full moon because they'll grow down. You plant them after, from new moon to full moon, your tops want to grow up, and I've done that, and I've had the prettiest potato tops you ever want to plant, you ever want to see, and nothing at all.
Yeah.
So there's so many factors, but I never heard of too much nitrogen was a detriment,
right.
You know. That's all wood chips are, Rick. It's nitrogen, isn't it?
No. Actually, I heard the wood chips, a lot of people complain about the wood chips because they claim that if you're going to use wood chips somewhere, it sucks the nitrogen out of the soil as they decompose, and then you wind up with a nitrogen shortfall. But then other people say that's BS, that actually does not happen. I don't think that the wood chips would be nitrogen. I'm actually hearing the opposite, is that they eat it. But what do I know about that?
What I have come to understand, and Rick, we've communicated back and forth quite a bit, so my understanding is a little skewed at best. If you take wood chips and mix them in the soil, it will lock up that those chips will, or wood itself will lock up the nitrogen and leach it out. But if you do not mix them with the soil, just lay them in there or lay them on top loose, that they will decompose and release the nitrogen. Now that's my new understanding and learning. Somebody please tell me that is right or wrong
Well, I heard that, and now doesn't it stand to reason that if you suck nitrogen out of the soil, that means they're holding it. At some point, it's got to be given back. It doesn't evaporate. So at some point in decomposition, that nitrogen's got to go back where it came from. It just has to.
And then you got wood char. Wood char is supposed to be the catch now. And then you got the acidity and the alkalinity of your soil, We've tried so many things that we've read, and sweet potatoes do fairly well. They're not as successful as I would like. I love sweet potatoes. There's just a ton of stuff you can do with sweet potatoes, from sweet potato pie to sweet potato fries, and there's about as many varieties of sweet potatoes as there is Irish potatoes, or whatever you want, new potatoes, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
But I just wanted to ask you, how much nitrogen is too much nitrogen? People that have grown potatoes like gangbusters. But we haven't. We've tried
just about anybody. Any nitrogen appears to be bad news when it comes to tubers. So I don't know the answer, but I do know that the association up there in around Idaho, they don't want you to put that nitrogen in until the very end when the tubers are all established. So apparently it's a real issue.
Well, I know they, out there in San Joaquin Valley, my wife talks about them growing potatoes out there when she was grew up out there, and they had potatoes, some of them big enough at a family of six. One potato would feed a family of six, but it was primarily all water. Yeah. Those of you that are not aware, they have come out with GMO potatoes. They've been out for a number of years now.
I heard something about this.
Yeah, they have been developed. And I don't know. Maybe that's something we've got. That's supposed to be GMO potatoes. Maybe that's what we got to try to grow in the last few years, and that's been a unsuccessful endeavor. I don't know. I know it's frustrating as all get out. We've kind of switched over to experimenting with Jerusalem artichokes. They're a tubular, and they're supposed to be very similar to the potato. And there's two types of artichokes. You've got one, a regular artichoke that has a fruit on top of the, on the plant itself. And Jerusalem artichokes is a tuber. So I learned that by sheer accident. But anyway, I don't know. We've just pretty much give up on potatoes so far as growing them and are eating
them. I did hear this, and this was interesting to me because I've been hearing this for years. But now that I see this work that the Haas guys did, they've been saying for years, and I ignore this stuff, and say, don't throw your barbecue pit ashes out because those are good for your garden. Well, then I saw another video from the Michigan gardener who said that he ran into some old farmer who said his secret, which was not supposed to have been revealed, is under each tomato plant he put 1 cup of hardwood ash. Now, what I find out now is that the hardwood ash is actually almost pure potash, which is that would be your potassium. So, tomatoes being a nightshade, and I hear now that potatoes adore the potassium, then I have to assume that if you was to take hardwood ash and put it in the bed, you would be adding copious amounts of the potassium, which would be unbelievably good for tubers. So while I have been ignoring people who told me to use ashes, and I'm like, yeah, right, and I'll swing a dead cat around my head in the full moon, and all my warts would fall off. But I think they're right. I'm beginning to suspect there's something to this. So I think I will also. I always take them and put them in the same spot in the woods because I'm a prepper, and I figure at some point I'll use them. So maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll go back and get those hardwood ashes and put them in the potato beds in the spring. Let's see where that goes.
Well, I'm just, how much is too much and how much is not enough? Yeah. I don't know why potatoes got to be so hard to grow. Maybe my neck of the woods are not supposed to grow. I don't know.
I do know it basically comes down from the Northwest.
Well,
if they're
so
damn hard to come by, why do they give them away at the grocery store? You know what I'm saying? It's like a couple things at the grocery store are ridiculously cheap, and one of them is potatoes, which, okay, I can always go get them at the grocery store. No, wait, I can't always go get them at the grocery store because if something happens, I won't be able to get them at the grocery store, and I won't be able to grow them. So that I think, is what, in the back of my mind, is really eating me alive, is that, in the overall scheme of things, I'm failing in my endeavor to actually to develop the skill to take care of myself and my family. And that, I think,
is sustainable
more
food.
Than any of this. It's eating me alive.
Well, it's been, things changed. My wife can tell you, I think she said it was in 2011 here. It got extremely hot, and everything just kind of changed as what it was the first 6 years that we lived here. And what we could grow back in, we can't grow anymore. It's just almost impossible to get, we're growing all sorts of squashes. Yeah, we're giving away canning them. I think I told y'all that this last week. everything
be nice.
Pertaining to squash, they'd grow. I'd walk, carry a sack full of them to hardware store when I went. They got to the point they see me coming in, we don't want no more. You know, I'd give them away. But
can you not want
that's sad.
Yeah.
But,
oh,
yeah,
come on.
But, yeah, it, so anyway, I just want to run by what we tried and with no success.
Right.
And,
sure.
It just, it's frustrating to say the least. And how much water is too much water and how much, you know, how little water is not enough, you know, or how, you know.
Right.
Or however that goes.
Yeah.
It just, there's something that, or things that we're doing wrong trying to grow taters.
All right.
I think we got callers.
Right, thank you. Next, we're going to Tom in Utah on line 9. Good morning, Tom.
Hello.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, I just want to find out if you're experiencing the temperature drop that we've just gone through. We've dropped 50 degrees.
Not yet.
No, the answer would be this, Tom, is that yesterday, here around St. Louis, we set a new record. We got 92 degrees, and the record from 1883 was 91. So, no, we just broke a 130-year-old record or a 140-year-old record. So, no, I don't think so, no.
Well, right here in Utah, I guess Wyoming is above us and Idaho above us, and they're dropping really severely cold. So
yeah.
I just wanted to remind people that if they're trusting their carbon monoxide detector in their manufactured or mobile home or even their regular home, that detector is a joke. I don't know if you know that. Those detectors are designed to sound after you exceed 200 to 400 parts per million, that OSHA would evacuate you from any space they're responsible for if there's only 50 parts per million. And if you're a pregnant woman, you should not be in a space that has any more than 15 parts per million, yet the alarms, which are a joke, they're a false sense of security, they will not sound until you've gone 10 times the amount that's dangerous or lethal to an unborn fetus, and to elderly and to handicapped or housebound individuals. So I just wanted to remind everybody, and I'm trying to grow potatoes too. We do pretty good over here. Our soil is rather alkaline. We don't seem to have any challenges that way, and I don't have to even put any fertilizers on them specifically.
Oh, wow.
But, you know,
why do you say you're trying to grow them? It's not working?
What's that?
I say, why do you say you're trying to grow potatoes? Are you saying that you're not having any luck with it?
Oh, no, we've always had a good crop of potatoes, and I haven't even, you know, all I've done is put a little bit of compost in there, not even checking the, you know, the soil minerals.
Sure, right.
But potatoes do well in a sandy soil, and that's basically what we have.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah. Your tubers, you know, carrots.
Not what we have, yeah.
Yeah, carrots and, you know, all your tubers do really well in our sandy soil out here. But anyway, aside from that, I'm pleading with everybody listening, if you have any friend or family or you yourself, like Clive and Bundy, lives in a manufactured mobile home, make sure you see the material I have up on Gassing America. Scroll down to where I discuss the problem with carbon monoxide alarms. Be prepared for the cold that's going to hit you, and it'll be a shock therapy, I think, is the way they're saying it's, they're anticipating it to be for the nation. We will have a brutal cold winter.
Yeah,
and we've gone from.
I heard a lot of people are calling for that, including Farmer's Almanac. Thanks for the call, Tom. I appreciate this.
GassingAmerica.com.
Yeah. We'll be back in 3 minutes. We've got a caller waiting, 1-800-313-9443. Go ahead and give us a call.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Saturday, September 28th, 2019. Rick, we've got another caller. We've got Ken in New York on line three. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Rick. Hi, Laurie, if you're there.
Hi.
And
Laurie's got the day off.
Oh, Laurie's got the day off. I hope she's feeling. Is she feeling better?
Yeah, she's not. She's feeling better, but she's got a constant cough. She can't really control it. It's really driving her nuts. This is the third or fourth week of it. So we're hoping Laurie can be back next week.
You know, it's a funny, not so funny coincidence, but I have the same thing. It's like bronchitis. I walk around disabled people in buses, and several weeks ago, a bunch of them went out for a doctor's appointments, which probably means shots of some kind, and I got sick about a week later, and I've been like this for 2 weeks. I get a lot of congestion.
You guys need to maybe think about grinding out some colloidal silver real quick and maybe drink a bunch of that, see how that works.
I do have some water here, some colloidal water, and I've inhaled it in the past. I have a cold inhaler set up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little bit of a DIY guy. I've talked to you about like electronics and things in the past for backup.
Yeah.
Right, but I actually have a vegetable question today.
Okay.
Let's see.
What is it? About potatoes, number one, and carrots, number two. Potatoes, number one. I used to like to eat a baked potato with the skin on it, but then everyone said, well, with the pesticides. Now, is that true of organic? Can you eat the skins?
No, of course not. No, organic would mean, and you can't trust this, I mean, unless you're growing them yourself, and you know for a fact they're organic. But, you know, if you go to a place like, they call it Whole Paycheck, which is Whole Foods Market, where they get your whole paycheck, and you get certified organic, it's supposed to be organic, and at which point there should have been no pesticides there whatsoever, no Roundup, no nothing like that. And, my goodness, what is better in this world than potato skins with salt and butter?
I miss it.
That's a delicacy, all right.
Are you talking about, should I avoid doing this with, continue to avoid doing this with conventional, store-bought? We do have farms here, and when I can get to them, we do have some good, I'm on Eastern Long Island, so we do have some good, potato farms out here, but it's not always easy for me to get, to them when I want to.
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. You know, I'm health conscious, and I don't eat a lot of meat. I eat tons of vegetables, but I don't go overboard. I think, if I were you, I'd maybe wash the potato real well and dry it before you cook it. But I've got to tell you the truth. As far as being the the health nut Nazi, that's just not
no,
me.
No.
I mean, I'm almost 70 years old and I'm fine. I'm sure I've consumed gallons of pesticide. Would I have been better off without it? Most likely. But I'm not going to die of potatoes because of something out there. So no. And once again, some people like was it Sherry from Kansas said, some people don't do well with nightshades and it causes inflammation. And then inflammation will seem to find an injury. In other cases, excessive nightshades cause arrhythmia for some people. So, you're going to have to be your own doctor there. But no, as far as what goes on with potential pesticides, let me assure you that what you get at Walmart is better than no vegetables at all. But I'm telling you, those commercial farmers are dunking their stuff in pesticide. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there at all. So...
So as long as I wash them, washing them often, I guess not scrubbing them is a good idea, but just washing them?
They got potato brushes. Yeah. They got a little soft potato brush you can use. It's so soft, it's unbelievable.
Like a feathering brush, maybe, or something like the other question I have is about carrots. Now, I heard this a long time ago from the late Joyce Riley. She was talking about, I don't know why, but she was talking about vegetables one day. And I didn't get the whole story, but she said that conventional or, like store-bought carrots, farmers had used them to clean up their land or something.
Does that make any sense? I'm not familiar with this. Yeah, well...
Okay, something about...
I've never heard of carrots as a cover crop, and I've never heard of...
Okay, is that what you call it? Well, this was
like
a long time ago. I hope I'm not
suffering
from the Mandela effect. I'm sorry, kid.
I've never heard them. Elephant ears and other things are used to suck heavy metals out of areas.
Okay.
And I've never heard of carrots being used as a
crop. Carrots doing something
to
like
clean
that.
Up areas. I've never heard
okay.
of that.
Okay, What vegetables would be the kind that would be used for that? Are there any?
To tell you the truth, elephant ears are. All the caladium family will actually eat lead, and heavy metals. So they'll put that in, like, with their cleaning water. They'll run it
right.
like a stone, create a swamp, and down toward the end of the swamp where the water is actually moving, they will put elephant ears. If you go to a store, they've actually got piles of those things that you can buy because that's a lot of Mideasterners will eat that, eat those, and then you can buy those things on the cheap by the hundreds. And but they do like moisture soil. The only one I know of would be the elephant ear, and they come in a couple of different kinds. There's an alocasia and a colocasia. The alocasia has an ear that stands straight up.
Guys, hang on for a minute. We got a break.
Yeah, music.
1-800-313-9443, and we'll finish this up on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea, and YouTube, Health Matters Now, that's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
Gentlemen, this is Tim Spencer. This is the Rural Survival Show with Tim Spencer, Rick Schmidt, and don't forget Lori. She's just off for the day. Anyway, we're talking to Ken in New York and Rick, and we're talking about all kinds of things, vegetables.
Right. Sure. Well, let me just finish up that elephant ear thing. There's a couple things. First of all, if you live in New York, you can't leave the tubers out during the winter, but, or for that matter, in Zone 5, you can't either. But the colocasia, which is the elephant ear that has the droopy aspect to it, it they don't like the sun and they don't like the wind. But the alocasias, the elephant ear stands straight up, and they can take full sun. So that's my favorite because I got a lot of sun. I don't have a place. I don't want a baby colocasias. It's ridiculous. Every time we have high winds, they look like somebody took a machete to them. So I use the alocasias, and I would have to suggest that. But that's about all I know about that.
Okay.
Well, that's fine. At least it answers my... Maybe I'll go have a good baked potato after all. I've avoided them for years. I mean, you've eaten the skins for that reason. But, you know, I have diabetes. I'm 66. I've been on insulin for 25 years, close to 25.
You and me both.
And, well, I'm not, I'm, you know, mostly everything works and all the body parts are still there. So I'm always looking for, you know, things like various kinds of supplements and what to eat and that sort of thing. So,
sure.
You know, you just don't want to aggravate. Inflammation is always a problem. That's one of the things that just keeps, you know, even though you can have low C-reactive protein, you still have, you know, you have to worry about the eyes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, if you really get serious, I mean, you know, I'm okay with potatoes. I do fine with potatoes, but I can't eat wheat. So, because it causes inflammation. So everybody's different. But if you are going to eat a baked potato, for goodness sakes, do not forget the butter and the bacon bits. You got to get those in there.
I got the bacon bits. I get them at Walmart. They seem to be pretty good. Rather than eating.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, haven't killed me yet. So I guess they're okay.
No. Yeah. You're going to party. You're going to party. Let's party.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Call back anytime.
Sure.
Okay, Rick. Next, we're going to Jenna in Washington on line 11. Good morning, Jenna.
Well, good morning. I wanted to share two different cover crops I've had success with that are edible. They are daikon radish, which our local garden store sells it as a fracking cover crop because if they get going early enough, they're holding space. We have clay soil, so breaking it up is a constant challenge. But the tops are edible, and radishes are edible. They're prolific. They grow really quick.
Oh, you're not kidding.
They cover a lot of space. And then also fava beans. Those are delicious, labor-intensive to prepare to eat. However, on you know, if we're going to have a hard winter, taking that time to shell the outer shell. I think you steam it, shell it, and then you cook the inner bean. But they're delicious.
Yeah, I think Hannibal Lecter was eating it with the guy's liver. You probably didn't see that movie, but the daikon radish. You know, I've never grown fava beans, but I have grown daikon radishes. They can actually get incredibly large, like nothing that they look like a giant white carrot, and they can get a foot and a half long, and you can imagine how that could break up the soil. But one of those
sliced, lightly salted is a great palate cleanser. It's a mild radish. I think they're wonderful. I probably planted too many last year, but the ones that just rotted away, they held space in the soil. That was really nice.
I don't think you can plant too many. Well, what we do is shred them, put them in a bowl, put them in a colander, sprinkle a little salt on them, let that suck the water out, and then mix that with eggs and breadcrumbs and some herbs, and we make daikon burgers, which would be like a veggie burger, but dang, they are good.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I did get some cover crop in part of our garden, the white clover, rye, and vetch. That's got a nice start to just cover that soil, because I agree with Tom, it's going to be a long, cold winter. any way to cover gardens.
It's going to be interesting. Of course, the Farmer's Almanac, you know, is saying that it's going to be, like, near apocalyptic, and I've noticed lately that they have not been too terribly accurate, I must admit. I'm very, very curious to see whether or not they can be right. Now, of course, we got that grand solar minimum thing going on. So I guess we're going to find out. I guess maybe finally they'll be right, and, you know, we'll all wind up wearing long underwear till June. So I am going to be curious to see how it fleshes out.
Yeah, and I did want to add, we have a lot of clay soil. I've had a hard time with potatoes, but this year... we were, a friend of mine had about 20 bags of sand that I mounted them up with pure charcoal, and sand is all I mounded with. And I had a decent crop. So,
well, the charcoal, you got food.
Yeah,
what did you do for food?
I'm sorry?
What did you do about fertilizing? No fertilizer?
Well, this spring we were donated 100 gallons of shellfish slurry and fish guts. So it was mineralized, and we've had charcoal. Right. See, charcoal is nice because it doesn't break down. So over the years, charcoal, I believe, because about 5 years ago, I did a soil test, and we were prescribed about 100 pounds of various minerals, mostly calcium, but zinc and manganese, copper, sulfate went in. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. And my pH had gone up. It was very acidic. But the charcoal, in theory, is that because it doesn't break down, it'll hold those minerals so it won't wash away. So ash is something as a residual of our homemade biochar, but I think ash in conjunction with any fertilizer you're adding, the biochar will hold it there, in theory. So that's why we like the charcoal.
Sure, but you didn't throw any NPK. You didn't throw any 10-10-10 or anything like that.
No, never. I haven't. I've been cover cropping every fall.
Right.
We do till still because it's just so hard. We got to break it up. And initially, just the lime was added about 5 years ago. So, you know, I can only afford so much to add. It's about 1,000 square foot plot we've got. Oh, and, you know what? Actually, I've been adding the worm casting tea. I have my worm bin, running water through it, catching the tea, and then I have been, when I get to it, watering with the worm tea, which I think...
Well, did you plant whole potatoes, or did you just plant chips?
I did buy seed this spring, and I cut them up, let them cure a little, and I planted some seed, and then I had some potatoes that were starting to sprout in my kitchen, and I threw those in. And
would you say that you got 5 potatoes for every one you planted, or not?
Yeah. I did.
That's a pretty decent crop,
I did, except the voles ate a quarter of my crop. They completely ate out a whole potato, left the skin. And I did notice, it was curious, this year the skins were really thick. And I thought, well, I don't know why. But I had a nice crop, and the voles sure did get at them. And
voles. Oh, God, I hate voles.
There was little voles tunneling under. Yeah, so I have to get more serious with that. But because they ate the nice big ones, and I was like, oh.
Well, I will tell you this. They absolutely cannot stand castor oil. I've done this, and if the moles don't like it and the voles don't like it either, it burns their skin. If you take a big bag of kitty litter and, you know, castor oil's cheap, let's be reasonable, because nobody wants it. So take a big bag of kitty litter, pour in a couple bottles of castor oil, let that get all absorbed, because that's what kitty litter is going to do, and then scatter that across the area. It won't bother you, but voles are put it on a perimeter, do something like that. It won't bother you, but boy, they'll hate every second of that.
I'll consider that, because definitely I have a burdock crop, and burdock is it's like a medicine food and a liver cleanser.
I
just tried growing that, and there are tunnels. They are just waiting. Because last year they ate up the entire 2-foot taproot. I just pulled up the plant in the spring, and I'm like, oh. So I really need to focus on that area, because they know where the minerals are, and that's where they're going.
Yep. They eat tubers. I had gorgeous Asiatic lilies that I would buy at the end of the season, and between the deer and the voles, they got every single tuber. And, you know, in the spring, I come out and the ground just collapsed because the tubers have been hollowed out. Yeah, voles are a real problem, but I do know they hate castor oil. I know that for a fact.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Great show.
Well, thank you. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, Rick. We've got about 5 minutes before the next break, and then we close out the show. Where do you want to go next?
I got 1,000 things to say in 5 minutes. I will tell you, if I haven't mentioned this, I'm getting a little dementia here. Baker Creek Seeds, one of my favorite places, has a gorgeous catalog. I mean, it is just pure eye candy. And did I mention that between, let's say, January and March, they will distribute 750,000 of those, and then they won't have any more? Did I say that on the air? I can't remember.
I don't remember either, Rick. I don't think so.
No. I think I talked, there's a gardener up at Lowe's, I think, that I said that to. If you need to get your name on their mailing list, because a lot of people use this catalog at the coffee table. They use it like that.
And, okay.
It's a table book or whatever. And a lot of people just love to leave it around. But if you don't get in there now, if you're not on the list, come Christmas or Jan 1, you're not going to get one. And if you call in March or April, you're still not going to get one. So, you know, go to rareseeds.com, Baker Creek, get your name on that catalog list, because I'm telling you right now, you're going to want that catalog. It is a beaut. I will say that, and this is completely unrelated, for those of you that have stuffy noses, and this is just notes from the whole week. If you go to the health food store and you don't want to get addicted to nose spray, and you want to get a nose spray that is made from what is the clinical name for pepper oil? But they charge $15 for this stuff. If you go and you go to Walmart and get a 3-ounce bottle of saline solution, which is going to cost you about $1.50 or $2, as much cayenne powder as you can hold on the back of your baby fingernail, drop that in there and shake it up real good. That is a way to pop your nose open, and, you know, you're making a $15 bottle of nose spray for $2. That is a good deal. And yes, it is going to sting, but it is going to work like a charm, and it's non-addictive. That's your prepper tip for the day.
Cool.
I guess so. I guess that's cool. Also, I got to tell you, I mean, with respect to the cold winter, we are getting into poutine weather. I was watching some different people make poutine. We talked about this last winter, but, you know, to be incredibly brief about it, basically what it is French fries, either homemade or store-bought, with cheese on top. You can really use any cheese, but typically they'll use cheese curd with a nice, rich, brown gravy over the top. And, you know, for those people who... It's a big deal up around Alaska and the Yukon because it's so nutrient dense. It's got a lot of carbs and a lot of calories, a lot of calories. You can go to all the trouble to make your own French fries, frankly. Once I start thinking about poutine, I don't have that much time on my hands. I got to get poutine in my mouth. So, you know, I'm happy with just to fry up something made at the store, and then make my own gravy, and which I love to do anyway. And as far as cheese goes, I have used everything from a shredded cheese, whether it's a cheddar or white cheese. Tell you the truth, some of the white cheeses melt much more Provel. Provel is something that's basically here out of the Midwest. It melts if you just look at it. So that is unbelievable. But to tell you the truth, on my poutine, I really prefer one of the cheddars. But, you know, we're getting into that time of the year. Also, if you want to make your poutine cancer-fighting, you either add 5 buzzard tiers, and if you don't have that, use 1 Chuck Norris tier, and then you'll never get cancer. I hear the only problem is that Chuck Norris, he never cries. There is something else I've mentioned in the past, and this is a kind of a fun thing. There is a guy out there, he calls himself Appalachian Bonsai, and I know I've mentioned this before, but it is music time.
It is. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have time for any more calls today. We will be back in 3 minutes to close out the show. This has been fun, guys. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Ori Spencer and Rick Schmidt. Rick, we're at the end of the show, buddy. It's time to close it out.
Well, I will tell you two things. First of all, And you may or may not remember, and I told you the Kentucky Frieds up north in the Canada area, Yukon, and that kind of thing. You go to Kentucky Fried, you get chicken. You get your chicken and green beans, but you do not get mashed potatoes. You get poutine. The other thing is I want to mention, and this is the most profitable crop that these market gardens have come up with lately, is they're growing ginger. And I have noticed two things. First of all, I've tried to plant it a number of times. It never grows. I found out that the stuff you get at the store has been sprayed with a chemical agent that keeps it from sprouting. And that is probably why it just rots. So I've got a couple of websites I've marked where, but they won't ship me ginger until the spring, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But so I can also go to the market, which I'm going to try in the meantime. We got the organic market. We've kind of danced around that once or twice, and get some certified organic, which should technically not be sprayed, and try that out. These people are making a wholesale $9,000 off of a 100-foot row of ginger. That is a huge that's a huge crop. Most of those guys don't get anything like that, or not even off basil. I mean, there are some profitable crops, but you know, $9,000, $4,500 for a 50-foot row, and they'll plant a couple of those. Now you've got to have a place to sell it, of course. But you know, the other side of the coin is it's one of the healthiest things. That and turmeric, which we can get into next week, but that and turmeric are two of the healthiest things you can possibly eat. So I just wanted to mention that is the new rage in business models for market gardeners is a couple rows of ginger and a couple rows of turmeric. But it's a long season thing. You know, you're going to need most of the summer, which is why they will ship it in March, and you probably won't get to get it out of the ground until literally the end of your growing season. You're not going to rotate two or three crops out, you know, like I would do with some of these others, like beets and lettuce. It's going to be there. It's going to be like onions, you know. It's right. Going to be there the whole year if you get it out. So, you know, you basically got your bed locked up. Wherever you put it, your bed's locked up for the year. So, you know, that's something. But you can also do it in containers very nicely. So if you've got a couple of great big pots, you can scavenge from Lowe's or Home Depot, you know, even the cheap black ones that they throw away. You know, you can grow a lot of ginger in those things. And ginger's expensive, obviously, and good for you. So what are you thinking?
Well, I think this has been one of our best shows in quite a while. That's what I'm thinking.
I was thinking I was ill-prepared. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, folks, that's it for today. We hope everybody has a fun and safe week. We'll be back same time, same channel next week. And may God rest the souls of President Jefferson Davis and General Robert E. Lee. And please pray for our president. Bye-bye, folks.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.